Okay, today we're going to discuss a very old-fashioned shaila. It's a shaila that I never thought people would still be asking, but I got asked the shaila yesterday, and that is about adjusting the pegs in a timer on Shabbos. I didn't know that people still have timers with pegs. I didn't know that this is even a thing that people still do, but apparently people still do. I was already talking about Nest thermostats and things like that, but maybe we'll talk about that next time. Maybe today we'll start with the more basic, because it's a kishmaka sugya, whether it's a halacha lemaisa or not. Rabbi Fluke has a very nice article on this this topic, but let's start with the basics. There is a din that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Good, so far so good, right? The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us that Kuf Chaf and Beis that if you do a malacha through a maisa, it's going to be asur, but grama is mutter. So there is a machlokes rishonim. What exactly that means that grama is mutter? The shita of the Rush in the second parak of Masechta's Beitza is that grama is mutter, meaning you're 100% allowed to do it, that it's not with the krechts, it's not with only if it's just mutter. The Mordechai, however, in Shabbos Os Shin Tzadites says that no, mutter means that it's only mutter if there's going to be a makom hefsid. So then you're allowed to do malach al yedei grama in order to avoid hefsid. The Ramah in Orachaim Sim Shin Lamedalit Tziiv Chav Beis Paskins like the Mordechai that only be makom hefsid is going to be mutter to do malach al yedei grama. However, the Mishabura in Sharetzion in Tavkuf Yudalit Os Lamed Aleph points out that on Yontif you're allowed to do malacha al yidei grama even shalom b'makom hefsid. So at the end of the day, when we're going to have a discussion about what's considered grama, what's not considered grama, we're not asking mutar asur, we're asking mutar on Yontif and mutar b'makom hefsid or even asur in those circumstances, right? Because that's when grama is technically mutar. So the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph tells us that here's a good example of a grama. You have a fire, you're afraid it's going to rage out of control, so you want to contain the fire. So you take giant barrels of water and you surround the fire with barrels of water. So as the fire spreads, it will hit the barrels will burst, the water will come out, and the fire will be extinguished. The Gemara says, you know why you're allowed to do that? Because it's grama. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. The Gemara explains that's grama and that's going to be mutter. So the Achronim are all bothered by the following kasha. It seems that there's a stira in terms of whether that should or should not be considered grama. Because on the one hand, the Gemara in Shabbos says that with the thing with the barrels around the fire, that that's called grama. Yet on the other hand, grama is not only does not only relate to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Tov, does not only relate to malacha, it also relates to nezikin, that one is not chayiv for nezikin that are done al yedei grama. So the Torah says one of the avos nezikin is if you light a fire and the fire goes and it burns someone else's property, the guy who lit the fire has to pay for the damage. Now, l'chora, one would have thought that that's grama, because you didn't directly light the neighbor's property. You lit the fire where you were, and the fire was taken by the wind and went somewhere else, and went and did the damage. So that's the famous machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Baba Kama Daf Chav Beis Amar Aleph, where Reish Lakish says that that we don't treat it as if you personally burned the other guy's property. We view it as if Isho Mishum Mamono, that you have this fire belongs to you, so it's like your shar went and damaged someone else's property. So it's not your maisa. It doesn't have to be your maisa. When my shar goes and damages, it's not my maisa either. It's my shar's maisa. And that's why I'm going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, Isho Mishum Chitzo, that it is my maisa. That the fire going is my, it's ki'ilu, I shot an arrow, I did the maisa, I pulled the trigger, and therefore I caused the damage myself. Well, wait just a second. How come that's not grama? According to Rabbi Yochanan, that Isho Mishum Chitzo, that would seem to be exactly like the case of the barrels with the fire, that I'm trying to get the fire to explode the barrels and put out the fire, and the water to put out the fire. So why isn't that the same exact thing? In fact, the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Nun Vav says that if you have stalks of wheat and you put them in the path of a fire that's on the move, then you have to pay for the damage. That's considered to be that you were mazik. Shouldn't that be grama? Because after all, I'm just putting something in place of where the fire is going to go. So there are two basic approaches in Poskim in terms of how to resolve this, and this is going to relate to moving the pegs in the timer on Shabbos. First approach, Rav Shechter writes in Bikvei Atzon and Simin Zayin, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that Isha Mishum Chitzo applies when that secondary force is acting directly on the primary force right away after the primary force was created. You light a fire, the fire is considered that's the primary force, the wind is the secondary force that carries the fire. As soon as you light the fire, the wind starts to spread the fire. Isha Mishum Chitzo, that's your Maisa, that's direct, that's not going to be Grama. But when you put these jugs of water around the fire, so what Malach are you trying to do? You're trying to be Mechabes. So what's going to accomplish that? It's going to be the water that accomplishes that Kibui. So the water is the primary force. What's the secondary force that's going to cause that to happen? The wind. The wind's not interacting with the water. The wind is interacting with the fire, which is then going to explode the barrel, and the water will then extinguish the fire. Sounds like whatever, Chad Gadi. Then it's going to extinguish the fire. So the putting of the water is considered to be is considered to be only a grama. So now, if you apply that to timers, so if you take a pin and let's say you have the temperature, let's say the clock is set to turn the whatever the air conditioner on in an hour, and you want it to go on in a half an hour. So you move the pin in the air conditioner in the timer a half hour closer. So is that grama? Because after all, nothing's going to happen for a half hour. So it's just going to tick, 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 and slowly, 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 and then in a half hour it's going to turn on the air conditioner. Would that be grama? So according to Rav Soloveitchik, absolutely not. It would not be grama. It would be an actual problem of a malacha, because the primary force is the pin, and the clock that moves the pin is the secondary force. So you put the pin in the timer, and it immediately starts working on the pin to move it ever closer. Very slowly, but it's slowly is not the definition of grama. It's happening directly and immediately, and therefore that's considered a direct maisa. The other approach is what Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests in Ma'ore Eish, where he says that the difference between the case of the barrels and you're trying to put out the fire or contain the fire on Shabbos versus Yisro Mishum Chitzo and Nezikin is simply that. It's a difference between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Nezikin, and the geder of grama is going to be different in Hilchos Shabbos than it would be in Hilchos Nezikin. And from a Shabbos perspective, utilizing a secondary force is always going to be grama, which would mean that utilizing those pins would be mutter on Shabbos, even to make something turn on earlier. However, in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Yud Gimel, he says that he's not convinced he's right. It could be that Rav Soloveitchik's approach is right. He doesn't quote Rav Soloveitchik, but he says same basic approach, that it could be that's right, and therefore to make something turn on sooner or earlier, that a person should not do on Shabbos. But what about to maintain the status quo and to push something later? So that probably is mutter. Probably, I say, because it's not so pashut. The Gemara Maseches Beitza Daf Chav Beis says that if you have a fire that's going, you're not allowed to add fuel to the fire to keep it going for longer. So if the light is on and it's set to go off, and you don't want it to go off, you want your Shabbos meal is so enjoyable, you want it to continue for longer, so you want the light to stay on. So you want to pull out the pin that would otherwise shut the light off and let it stay on for longer. So in Tshuvas Az Nidru, Rav Binyamin Zilber and Chelech Ches Simin Lamed Beis says that's adding fuel to the fire, and that's going to be usher. It's just like you're adding fuel to a fire. However, the majority of poskim, Rav Vadi Yosef and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, say no, that's not adding fuel to a fire. That's more akin to what the Ramah Paskins and Archaims and Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph, that if you have a lit candle in a room and there's an open window that you're allowed to, where a wind may come and put out the candle, that you're allowed to close the window, and that's not a problem. So too, the pin that would otherwise turn the light off, being removed is just essentially closing the window, preventing something from allowing the malacha to take place. So that lichora would be mutter, with the caveat that on those old-fashioned timers, you run into a problem, because the way it works, you don't just like slide the pin from one position to the next, you have to pull it out and then put it in somewhere else. So if let's say I want the light not to turn off in an hour from now, to turn off in 2 hours from now. So I want to move the pin from the 1 hour slot to the 2 hour slot. So great, I pull it out of the 1 hour slot, ooh, freeze. Now what's going to happen. Now the light's never going to turn off, right? And now I put it in the slot for 2 hours from now, and now I caused something to happen sooner, which is back to our original problem. So you have to come up with some sort of etzah. Shmir Shabbos Kilch says an etzah by utilizing an extra pin, putting something else in between. But for those who still have old-fashioned timers, this is how you handle them on Shabbos. But from a different time, we'll discuss more of the new-fashioned things.